Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Wednesday, hopefully the half point of your week on June 23rd of 2021. I'm your host, Michael Kimmett, as always, bringing you four of the most crucial current events in cyber and technology that you need to make it through, hopefully again, the half point of your week. And we're going to start with Palo Alto Networks. They make a huge slew of very successful software, and they are urging customers to pay attention to its Cortex XSOAR Security Automation and Response platform. Sounds like a mouthful, but the platform is designed to help turn bits of information about potentially nefarious activity into action in near real time, protecting your network. The problem is that a flaw in the system could allow attackers to arbitrarily be able to use the REST API to issue commands that you might not want. And so it looks like builds that are later in their 6.1 than the 101.6923, as well as builds that came earlier than their 6.2, 127.1065. In other words, most builds between 6.1 and 6.2 were impacted and are technically vulnerable. There are some workarounds which involve revoking all active integration API keys that will fully mitigate this issue so that you are not the victim of criminals taking advantage of your Palo Alto networks. And if you want more details, that vulnerability is tracked as CVE-2021-3044, 2021-3044. And there is another vulnerability, this one in the way of printers. It looks like there's an unproven vulnerability that could impact a number of printers, and it is rated as very high, even though unproven, because once proven, it looks like it's very easy to do. It involves the dropping of a file on a machine, which means you have to have access to the machine in the first place, but by doing so, you would be able to exploit the network connectivity and printing involved in a network, and that's obviously very bad. And so it looks like for these printers, the issue here is that the researcher claims that you can, again, drop a file which would allow access to write code arbitrarily on a system. Now, if you already have access to a system, some would argue that there's a number of vulnerability and nefarious things you can do. But again, if you have a printer, specifically a Linux printer, make sure that you are keeping an eye out because a patch is sure to come in the next few days. As of the 21st, there was no patch. So what you need to do is look for unauthorized access to your network and or computer. And again, if you use a Linux printer, make sure that you're updating that driver as soon as a patch is available to make sure that you are not the further victim of someone already on your system. And while there are a lot of vulnerabilities that are unproven, what is proven is that ransomware operators take advantage of vulnerabilities to exploit targets. And one of the biggest and latest stories comes from Taiwan. There's a storage chip and memory creator called ADATA, A-D-A-T-A. And they were hit on the 23rd of May by the Ragnar Locker ransomware gang. And as is very common, the group that conducted this attack also stole large amounts of data. And they published samples, which are little tidbits of that data, on a website in the dark web that advertised that A, they have done this attack, and B, they have data, so unless you pay us, we're going to release the rest. Well, it looks like the ADATA company did not pay the ransom because a huge number, up to 700 gigabytes of stolen data, was posted, and that included financial documents, contracts, non-disclosure agreements. Looks like there could be some salary data and other employee data as well. And so this is multiple fold. Number one, if you work for ADATA, know that some of your data is, pun intended, available to criminals, because these criminals, the Ragnar Locker ransomware group, had stolen it and published it. And if you are a big company that is hit by ransomware, law enforcement's stance is to never pay the ransom. But you have to do a business analysis decision on what data potentially is stolen. And while initial investigations always come with, "We have no evidence that data was stolen," a very high percentage of the time, and at least in the last year, that you're hit by ransomware, criminals have stolen data, and likely they'll be in contact with you about what they're going to do with that data that could have a negative impact on your company. So again, while law enforcement says never pay the ransom, and it is important to have backups in place so that you can quickly restore, just know that the risk and threat of the type of data they steal could be very impactful. And it's not just the data itself that's impactful. The city of Liège, which is one of the largest cities in Belgium, is experiencing just how disruptive the attack itself can be. The city and surrounding districts are having to cancel many important meetings because their city infrastructure, in terms of network connectivity, email, and video chat support, are all offline. What happened, according to the Belgian media, is that the city was the victim of the Ryuk ransomware gang. Now, the Ryuk ransomware attribution in this attack is very early. The source claims to have good internal sources that this was the ransomware group responsible, but we're not 100% sure just yet. But it looks like early indications are Ryuk ransomware was used against the city of Liège. There are huge outages. Officials are saying they have not seen any data stolen yet, but an investigation is underway. So if you work for the city of Liège or live there, just know that there are significant disruptions to your city this morning and this last week, and that it is likely going to be resolved within the next few days. It's unclear if the city plans to pay, depending on the outcome of their investigation in terms of what data, if any, was stolen. But again, it's a global issue of ransomware, this widespread thing in which companies and cities and individuals are being extorted by criminals for large amounts of money. That'll do it for me today. Thank you all so very much. Have a most fantastic Wednesday. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow on Thursday. So until then, stay strong, stay safe, and stay healthy. Michael Kimmett signing off. Ciao. Welcome back, listeners. Today's tip of the cap goes to a football player in the United States who plays for the Raiders national football team, and his name is Carl Nassib. Carl Nassib is getting a tip of the cap for donating a significant amount of money, $100,000, to the Trevor Project and five other LGBTQ groups to support them during Pride Month. Not only that, but Carl Nassib is now openly, after a very public display, one of the first gay football players in the United States. And so to you, Carl Nassib, for not only your support of the LGBTQ community, but also for having the courage to support them in a less monetary but more personal way yourself. So please keep on being you.